My Tennessee Notebook, August 2025, written by Ansi McLean, published by The Tennessee Magazine. Avoiding highways. I'm retired from the job that had me commuting for 30 years, and while I admit I don't miss the grind, there is something to be said about the routine and the surprises of getting off the beaten path and making Tennessee backroads a part of my daily life. Today, I look back almost as if in a dream at the people and places along my way as I drove back and forth to work. The default setting on my cell phone's Maps app is set to avoid highways. If I wish to take a highway to my destination, I have to set it manually. It takes longer to get where I'm going, but it's worth the extra time. My chances of getting stuck in construction traffic or congestion of any kind is much lower when I get off the beaten path. But the real advantage lies in an aesthetic component. There are no billboards when I take the back way. I lived in Murfreesboro for decades and commuted to Nashville for work. I-24 was a guaranteed 90-minute bumper-to-bumper obstacle course with concrete walls and viaducts as far as my weary eyes could see. After a few years of that, I could feel the drive putting dents in my soul. So one day I decided to take more scenic routes. I took 96 West to 41A North, which becomes Nolensville Pike. It was just what the doctor ordered. My new route gave me peace and a wider perspective as I reflected on the people and small towns I drove through every day. Nolensville was just a little farm town when I was commuting. It's a big deal now, with countless housing developments, stores, and restaurants. But not that long ago, it only had a few antique stores and a big barn with a Purina logo on the side, revealing its purpose as an old feed store. The barn has been there since 1890, serving the farming community until just a few years ago when it became repurposed as Nolensville Feed Mill, a busy Amish market and deli that can be rented out for weddings and events. I remember passing an old farmhouse on my drive, close to the road, where an old man in overalls watched from his front porch. Once built on a sleepy gravel road, this old house was now passed by hundreds of commuters every day. I couldn't help but wonder if the man watched us with disdain or amusement or a little of both. He'd been watching the outside world creep up against him, yet he always met my wave with a wave of his own. Commuters who avoid highways must contend with school traffic. It's all part of taking the road less traveled. And getting stopped at crosswalks can be a frustrating event for a time-conscious driver. But once I decided to avoid highways, I began to see my windshield as more than a bug catcher. It gave me a front row seat to heartwarming moments of humanity. A school crossing guard in Nolensville was one of those lasting impressions for me. A pretty woman in her 40s with short, sandy hair and a kind smile was at her post every day. The neighborhood kids would chat with her as they crossed. She obviously knew each child and they knew her. Sitting in my car day after day, stopped by her gloved hands, rain or shine, I started to realize I was not just a commuter, but part of a community connected by a web of people doing their jobs, keeping their lights on, and making the most of every day. There's an odd place I passed every day, and I still think about it sometimes. A few miles up the road past Nolensville, there was a roadside vendor of sorts who sold old weather-beaten window frames, thousands of them, just leaning against each other randomly. If you took 41A into Nashville back in the day, you'll know the place. I haven't been by there in quite a while. I wonder if it's still there. Write to me and let me know, dear readers, if what I remember is real or if it was just a figment of my cloudy imagination. It's easy for us to feel disconnected from each other. There is much to divide us. Boundaries, imagined or real, in the form of politics, religion, financial status, even sports teams, can redraw our boundaries into a cold, gerrymandered world of us and them. We feel isolated in our little metal boxes looking out at the world through car windows, so it's easy for commuters to shut down and disconnect. I did it for years, but once I gave myself a daily detour, I began to reconnect to what was really important. I was commuting for one reason, after all, to give my family a better life. I worked in the city while my kids were able to grow up in a little country suburb surrounded by lots of kids their own age. All I had to do was sit in my car for 3 hours a day. I listened to podcasts, audiobooks, and I discovered a lot of new music. And these days, when I listen to my grown children tell stories of their life back then, of happy times playing in the creek beside our home, or sitting in the treehouse we made together in the backyard, I nod and smile. I know what made all that possible. Looking back on that now, it wasn't a sacrifice, really. It was an honor. We are connected, all of us, not so much by politics or religion as so many would have us believe. We are connected by these threads, these ribbons of back road, and the rolling hills between us that remind us of a childhood far away. We are connected by roadside cemeteries where the names of people are carved on stones, folks who rooted for us, planned for us, and maybe commuted to faraway jobs so we might have a little more than they had. We are connected by these threads even when we try to ignore them or stuff them away as part of just another day's annoyance and drudgery, just roads to roll over until we get to where we're going. But if I am mindful and focused, there are beautiful things to be seen. A crossing guard with a smile or an old man in overalls might wave at me. I'll stop for an egg and cheese biscuit at a little gas station. It's owned by a man just up the street. He walks to the place every morning at 5, flips on the lights, and cranks up the coffee maker. And I can remember a lovely bunch of kids atop a treehouse made from scrap lumber and a box of roofing nails. It was a summer Saturday, far, far away from here. You can't get there by highway. And now a few footnotes from the story, most of which delves into our American history as it pertains to highway billboards. After taking a drive with family, Lady Bird Johnson mentioned the inane amount of roadside billboards to her husband, President Lyndon B. Johnson, who unofficially but effectively appointed her to look into the problem. Mrs. Johnson's Highway Beautification Act was adopted in 1965 and remained relatively intact until Ronald Reagan signed the Billboard Deregulation Act of 1981, relaxing many of the statutes in what lawmakers nicknamed Lady Bird's Bill. Since then, dozens of amendments have allowed more and more billboards to pollute our commutes. There are an estimated 500,000 billboards in the U.S., which is astronomically higher than when Lady Bird took her historic drive. If you've been in Texas Hill Country, where the First Lady is laid to rest, the rumbling sound you may hear could be Lady Bird rolling over in her grave. The first digital billboards were introduced in 2005. I have to wonder what that first advertising company was thinking when someone suggested, "Hey, let's install television screens along our nation's highways." To which another replied, "Yeah, where people drive mere inches from each other at 70 miles an hour. What could possibly go wrong?" Well, no one has to wonder, as it turns out, because they gave it a thumbs up. Research suggests that these lighted, scrolling images cause thousands of accidents and dozens of deaths each year due to driver distraction. Less significantly, but no less a head-scratcher, each month, one digital billboard uses as much power as 14 average-sized homes. There are 16,000 digital billboards in use nationwide. Alaska, Maine, Vermont, and Hawaii have statewide bans on billboards of any kind. Florida has the highest number of billboards, with about 32,000. Texas and Michigan are a close second and third, and Tennessee is ranked seventh, with about 16,000 billboards along her highways. I used to work in advertising. It was a short-lived chapter of my life as a graphic artist back in my salad days when, ironically, I couldn't afford to eat most salads. A lot has changed. The current version of me avoids anyone trying to sell me anything. When I first realized I could pay extra to stream ad-free television and ignore ads on YouTube, I danced like my Irish ancestors at barley harvest. I still dance sometimes when I think about it. The advertisers in the Tennessee Magazine, however, are excluded, of course, from my diatribe. I love our beloved advertisers. I read each ad intently and use their information as I schedule road trips and plan holiday gift giving. If you have a product or service, you should seriously consider advertising in the Tennessee Magazine. The above was written completely void of sarcasm or irony.